Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We are keeping an eye on this weather system that is out in the Gulf. It has now moved to a 50% chance of formation. I get word from emergency management at Escambia County that they're thinking it might become a low-grade tropical depression, and they're still expecting it to move south, which has been the consistent message from WEAR as well. So even though it has shifted north this morning, it's expected to encounter some headwind, basically move south and then go east around the tip of the peninsula of Florida. Joining us now by phone, we have Lisa Newell. She is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, comes on every Thursday to tell us what's in the paper. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. It's beautiful right now.
Oh, right.
The weather stays pretty
this
weekend.
This. Absolutely. So in the paper today, you got one story is about the proposed lowering of the speed limit on Daniel Drive north of 98, right?
Right. Well, it's already pretty easy to go slow on that road because there are some speed tables. But when you think about everything that happens on that road, it's not only the turn-in to Seashell Collections. There's also the field house, the stadium, the softball complex, two churches, a children's medical facility. There's a lot of activity on that road. So right now the speed limit is 35. And, of course, they're planning, the city is hoping that the governor will sign the measure that will allow them to put an overpass, a multimodal overpass, so they can extend that multimodal loop across Highway 98 and have golf carts and things like that on that road. So they are saying that they're going to go ahead and reduce the speed limit to 25. But like I said, you really can't go that far, that fast on that road anyway, unless you want to just, you know, throw caution to the wind with your car.
Yeah,
so
I thought
you really—it's just making it official.
I thought it was kind of interesting when we were talking to Sam Abel about this last week that she said that when they looked at what people actually do drive there, nobody goes 35, which is a good indication that the road speed limit is really, you know, higher than it should be. And I won't often say that, but you know, it can certainly be true. City residents are happy. Who knew?
I know, like 98% of people think it's a great place to live in Gulf Breeze.
Nice.
They did a survey. This was something they've done, you know, periodically just to get the measurement of where people are. The only thing they really didn't think was a good place, it's not really a great place to work. There's not a whole lot of great, you know, employers in Gulf Breeze, but it's a great place to live, great place to raise your family. They feel safe. They are happy about the utilities, and they're happy. You just overall happy, which is really great.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's
it's
good.
It's not like you have to go that far to get a great job either. A lot of people do work from home, or they work in Pensacola, or, you know.
Or in the east, you know, they work at Andrews or App River or something like that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. That was a really good survey result.
We've also got, is it a new restaurant on Navarre Beach, which irritates me because we were just there like a week and a half ago.
Oh, well, you may have gone to it. Well, so do you remember the Broussard's? That was right there, right as you get to Navarre Beach. It's right there on the sand. It's right on the Gulf side. It's been there for years.
Okay.
It's been all kinds of different things. Broussard's had taken it over, and I think they were there for 5 years. They left, and now one of their employees has opened under his own name. His name is Andy Dees.
Okay.
And he had a big, the Navarre Chamber came out and did a ribbon cutting, had a big to-do. Anyway, so far, they're making a lot of changes, but so far, it seems like it's going to be a great place to go. He seems like he's doing everything right so far, getting the community out there involved. So, got to give him credit for that.
Outstanding. Well, hey, opening a restaurant right before tourism season, you know, that's, or right at the opening of tourism, you know, why not? Oh, speaking of that, did you see the thing where Navarre Beach got rated the, was it number 13 or number 14 best secret beach in America? I'm like, well, then shush. You know, shush.
Exactly.
Florida's best kept
they
secret.
They're having a little bit of a growing pain out there because there's hardly anywhere to park.
Yeah.
And so many houses they have out there now, you know, accommodate, you know, several families, but they only have two parking spaces. So they're already having a little bit of a growth issue.
Right, most definitely. You guys also have a story about the James Calkins comments at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last, 2 weeks ago, I guess now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I watched this meeting, we talked, I guess it was a week ago, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, people didn't like it because they were trying to appoint someone to the Marine Resource Committee who, by all indications, is highly qualified. But because she had registered as a Democrat, he thought that she should not be appointed. He, you know, is definitely partisan. And there were actually people in the audience who booed.
I heard, yeah.
She was appointed by 4-1. But, yeah, and then one of his, apparently one of his cohorts came and disrupted a zoning meeting.
That was right.
To try to also just kind of take this up. It wasn't an appropriate place for him to do this. But very upset because they would appoint an evil Democrat.
I know. We talked about this last week right when it happened because it's just so nutty, like this notion that in a nonpartisan Marine Advisory Committee, you just can't have somebody who happens to be registered as a Democrat. And then, like you said, you know, bringing this political hack in or whatever to come in for the night meeting to try to show force. And it was a catastrophe. It was an embarrassment to the county. So. Another not-so-savvy political move by James Calkins.
Well, he is always good for a story, an interesting twist, things that you do not expect. You just go, oh, my gosh, what next?
I will give this, we had Dee Dee Davis on with us last week on The Wrap, and she made the comment. She said, look, there's an awful lot of people that probably agree with him. So he's catering to a particular political base. And, I mean, that is also a part of politics. Well, the paper is out today. You've got the – you got Splash inside. You got summer sports stuff. You got the Sea Turtle baby showers from a fishing rodeo results. It is chock full of information. The Gulf Breeze News puts out every Thursday by Lisa Newell, our publisher and good friend. Lisa, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping the community informed. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much for everything you do. And stay safe. And I hope to see you in the breeze maybe at the – Sea Turtle Baby Shower on Pensacola Beach this weekend.
Oh, nice. Excellent. 8:17 on News Radio 92.3. Gracie's in for Candy today with traffic for you.
No slowdowns to report right now. Where you're looking good on I-10 and I-110 as well as 29 north and southbound lanes throughout Pensacola, showing no delays. If you do see something on the roads, give me a call at 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, everybody in this family has just gone totally out of limits.
Federal Resident 911, give me police, fire, ambulance.
No, I'm just calling to report something. I live in Cedar Ridge,
yes.
And about six of my neighbors came outside at the same time that I did.
Okay.
I don't know if
yeah. Large explosion?
Yeah, something like
okay.
that. Something.
Yeah, did you just hear it or can you see anything?
No, it was probably, I'm going to say, 45 seconds to a minute ago.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, we're getting calls from all over the place. We're trying to figure out what it was and where it was, but I appreciate you calling.
I bet. That's Santa Rosa County 911 taking a call about the SpaceX sonic boom from the other night. And to their credit, Channel 3 went and asked for the 911 calls. And it was interesting because it didn't even cross my mind to report it to 911 because I just figured it was – I don't know. I figured it was something not that significant in terms of, like, I didn't think of it as being an emergency. We went outside, we looked, we didn't see anything, went back inside, went on Facebook, asked, and people said SpaceX. I'm like, all right, we're good. But, you know, you got all these calls coming into 911 of people scared and or at least wanting to be helpful and inform, which makes sense.
911, can I help you?
Yes, no, I just heard, like, this. I live in Paysette. Heard, like, this huge boom noise. Like,
okay.
It shook my whole house. And then, like, it sounded like fireworks, but also could have been gunshots, so I really don't know. But, like, the boom didn't sound like fireworks because boom, like,
okay.
it shook my whole house. So
okay.
I was just calling to, like, let somebody know.
Okay,
I'm at home by myself.
We've gotten a few calls on it, and we are looking into it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is if you're in the 911 call center and you're getting these calls, like, there's a big boom, and you don't know what it was, well, that could have been the SpaceX, you know, capsule coming back. That could have been the Russians. you know, that could have been Eglin doing testing, or that could have been, you know, IP blew up again. Like, you don't know what happened.
Escambia 911, what is the location of your emergency?
Well, hey, I don't typically have an emergency, but the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is not answering. I just witnessed what looked like a rocket cross the sky going from the Atmore area going towards the Memorial
area. Okay, stay on the line, sir. We are getting bombarded with calls right now, so they're probably transferring back in. Stay on the line for the Sheriff's Department.
So I'm hearing a boom. I'm hearing an explosion. Something hit my house, you know, and then there's a streak across the sky. There's a fireball in the sky. I mean, you know. You're sitting in the 911 center and you're getting these calls in, and you know, meanwhile you have other emergencies for people, and you're trying to field all of these calls, and including
911, you need police, fire, ambulance.
None of the above. I think I heard a bomb go off.
That's my favorite one, by the way, because thank God it was not. But what if it had been? What if it had been a, you know, a grain silo blew up, or a, you know, a fertilizer tanker truck blew up, or, you know, who knows? So I honestly, I feel a little bad. It didn't occur to me to call in 911, but a lot of other people did. And, you know, again, kudos to WAR for requesting the tape on this. I think my favorite summary, though, of the whole event was somebody posted the cartoon of, and I don't know if it was King of the Hill or something, but it was a basically some scrawny looking redneck dude in a wife beater and a hat and his underwear. Maybe he didn't even have a shirt on, I don't remember. But he had a gun tucked in the front of his underwear. And like, every single person in Florida last night were all out the front door like, all right, I'm prepared for anything. I got my gun and my hat. I'm ready. Which is, that's... so accurate. Yeah, 8:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden's in Colorado today. He'll be giving the commencement speech at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Actor Danny Masterson, he was one of the stars of That 70s Show and The Ranch, has been found guilty of raping two women. He could get 30 years in prison when he's sentenced.
The judge in the retrial allowed victim testimony on the alleged use of date rape drugs. This time around, the jury was allowed to hear evidence about the Church of Scientology. All three accusers are former members.
That's NBC's Miguel Almaguer, and Masterson still belongs to that church. It was his second trial. The first one ended with a hung jury. The world's top speller is going to be crowned tonight, Andrew, in Maryland. 11 kids competing in the finals of the Scripps National Spelling Bee that started out with over 230 contestants. And along with the trophy, this year's winner takes home a $50,000 cash prize and, of course, an engraved plaque they can hang up in their school.
The winner of, what year? 84? Was one of my good friends.
Really?
Yeah, I went to school with Balu Natarajan, and you know, went to junior high with him and high school with him, and you know, he was always the guy we asked how do you spell stuff. So no, he was really, really good at it. 8:25, David, thanks so much for the update. It was kind of funny, Gracie, I was listening to you and Joe do the Pensacola News Hour last night from 4 to 7, which you guys do a good job. It's really interesting. Yeah. All the latest news. And you guys were playing some of the old clips of the spellers and some of the crazy things that they've done in the past and silly things that they've said in the past. And obviously, the best one?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, you like the Napoleon? Yeah,
which
the
one do you like?
No, the Napoleon Dynamite was good. Numna.
Yeah.
Yeah, Numna. What? Numna? What?
Oh, Numna.
Yeah, right. Oh, and you guys also, well, maybe it was on your show, you were talking about the alternate theories for the explosion.
Yeah, I was talking about that on Cat Country because it ranges from.
Somebody said meth lab.
Yeah, like, well, I had that text in as well. And we're like, I thought something fell in my garage. And then other people were like, I thought my neighbors got like. Bombed. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Tree fell over on me. There's a person in my attic. Yeah,
who knows? That's
right?
What I thought it was. But.
Somebody in the attic dropped a piano on themselves.
Yeah.
All right, let's tell them about traffic on the fives.
Well, roads are looking great right now with I-10 and I-110 not showing any major slowdowns, as well as 30 Mile Bridge and Garcon Point Bridge running smoothly. If you do see something causing delays this morning, just give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, Gracie. We are, again, just kind of keeping an eye on this. It's a weird system, okay? It's kind of, it looks like it's maybe stalled now. It had moved north from Cape Coral to Sarasota in the east-west direction. It was online west of Cape Coral. It had moved up to Sarasota. So it had moved up maybe, what, 100 miles? And due in line with Crestview, due south. It was one of the kind of the center of it. It's not an eye technically, but if you watch the wind pattern, it's, you can see it clear as day. But now it's stalled out and it's supposed to move back south. So it might form. They've raised it to a 50% chance of formation. Still, the like weather system is like ends right at the shoreline. So we're not really expecting to have much, you know, results or much impact of this here locally. But our News Radio ThreatNet radar being real good, keeping, you know, it's not affecting us, and it seems likely that it won't, except for maybe a little bit of a rain. But always keep an eye. It is the opening of hurricane season. You know, be prepared. 7 days, you're going to take care of yourself before anybody can get to you. That's the way you got to think about it. 437-1620, 437-1620 is my phone number, my text line, if you want to get a hold of me or let me know about anything. We had some really interesting notes about hurricane response. Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety, and he and Travis Tompkins, the emergency manager for Escambia County, we did a little media kind of roundtable about hurricane season just the other day. And one of the things I thought was interesting was talking about the chaos post-Ian and kind of what they learned and what they apply here and what have been applied for years here versus how downstate was handling it. This is Eric Gilmore.
I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the local EOCs were just grossly overwhelmed, okay? I don't think they were as prepared. I'm going to brag on us a little bit. I feel like if we had a Cat 5 or a Cat 4 coming to Escambia County, we're not going to throw our hands up and go, oh, crap, we just got our butts handed to us.
No, we own it.
We own it. We have that attitude that we own it. Down there, it was, oh, state, come help us. And everybody could bring everything and come help us, come running. And then nobody has true coordination of that piece. You know what I'm saying? It's just everybody's doing a lot of stuff real fast, but nobody knows really what they're doing and how they're getting out there. I think we would do a much better job here local of doing that, of making sure that everybody's one tied in. And two, everybody knows what the game plan is.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things is our local governments work really well together on this stuff. And with the media, it's something that is not as true down there. In fact, they think that maybe that's why, like Eric and Travis, I think Travis also, I know Eric was at the state EOC in Tallahassee kind of coordinating supply response. And they're getting calls in from down south of people saying, we don't have stuff. And they're like, what? We sent everything. What are you talking about?
Because I know we pushed the equipment. I can tell you how many trucks of water we pushed a day. To the bottle. We had to know how many bottles we pushed. I can tell you where they were. And then to hear the citizens go and the locals down there and the commissioners down there go, we're not getting resources. Well, hold on. I know you are. Maybe you just don't know they're there, and maybe you're not putting it out to the citizens that they're there. So that was one big thing.
Yeah, but that's a learning experience for communications, and you know, again, being prepared is, you know, something you do ahead of time, not something you figure out after time. Things like they've got, you know, Travis Tompkins says that they've got, you know, cells on wheels to stage. They call them cows, cell on wheels, cows, so that you can have, you know, cellular service even if the you know, the ordinary towers have been damaged. Obviously, getting the roads cleared and getting the power lines reactivated and that kind of stuff is a major priority. But the key is, aside from being prepared in advance, they say just stay home. You know, if a storm really does hit, you're not going to get anything from anybody in 24 hours, so just stay home. Really stay home for several days unless you absolutely have to be out, because you cause more problems by being out. As often as said, you are the traffic, and after a hurricane, you don't want there to be the traffic.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today I got a food-related one. We've been kind of off food topics for a while, but I got a food-related one for today. Gracie, are you a foodie? Or are you a cook? Or you what?
Sounds
like a no to me. That's a yeah you said in a no tone of voice, though.
Yeah, I think my cooking's good.
Okay.
I don't know if others would agree.
Oh.
But,
oh. Well, you should know that.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Got some practice to do.
So I got a kitchen question. Okay, the question is, tell me about a food. What is the food that always seems to go bad before you use it?
Oh.
Like, what food expires? It's irritating, it's frustrating. Like, it just, you never seem to finish it or whatever. It always seems to go bad before you get to it. 437-1620. What's the food that is always going to get on your nerves because you bought it and then it goes bad before you can use it? Do you have one that comes to mind?
Avocados.
Oh! Interesting.
It's awful. Because you buy them green and you're like, okay, if, like I'll let them like get to the perfect.
Uh-huh.
So you wait for them.
Just a little bit resistant, but still spongy enough that you know it's yes. it's green inside yep. and not hard, right? Okay, gotcha.
And then you miss it.
And then it's got a brown spot inside.
You open it up and it's brown. It's gross.
I know exactly.
And they're kind of expensive.
They are. Yeah, they've gotten ridiculously expensive. No, you're right. Avocados are a dicey one because you gotta... You got to find it at that sweet spot, and it yeah. does. It does go off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. I like it. The one that's been come up for me recently is cilantro. Mm. So I make street tacos at home, and I use cilantro to make like a green sauce. And you know, there's not a lot of things that you use cilantro in. Obviously, making pico de gallo or whatever, but that goes with the street tacos. But for whatever reason, I don't get it. Like cilantro, it's just parsley with flavor. Okay. And I buy it. And then it's in the refrigerator, and I use it the one time, and it feels like within about 2 to 3 days, it's gone to mush.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because I only ever need about a quarter of a bunch, you know, is how you think about the measurement for that. And I know it's only like 90 cents or a buck, but it's still annoying. Like, I hate to have food go bad on me before I can use it. 437-1620, 437. Oh, my God, the texts are blown up. This yeah. is great. I love it. All right, let's see. Somebody here says bananas. Oh. The banana war is real. In my house, so my kids and my wife like green bananas or greenish. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want it when it's still green, but I am the only one who will eat it if it has seen even a hint of brown. But yeah, the bad banana is bad, and it seems like I'll buy a bunch and then they're all gone within a yeah. day, and I'll buy a bunch the next week and they sit for a week. And I'm, what, you people?
Yeah, you have five brown ones.
That's right.
At least you can make, if you're making banana bread, at you least can. You can do something with the rotten.
That's right. That's right. But you can definitely take the rotten ones and you can make something out of them. Somebody else said bananas. That's a good one. Spinach. Oh, yeah. No, it's true. I think that the, you know, the message has always been that if you want to be really healthy, you eat leafy green vegetables.
Yeah.
I think, okay, here's my theory. I'm just coming up with it today, but I think that that is a message of propaganda from the green leafy vegetable producers of America, because they know that their food spoils too quickly. Because I'm thinking like cucumbers. My cucumbers are always getting rotten before I can finish them off or get to them. You know, I buy two thinking I'll get to, you know, one is invariably going to get thrown out always, every single time. The cilantro, the avocados, and it's not a green leafy, but it's still green.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to think that this whole, you know, eat green leafy vegetables and be healthy is really just propaganda because they know the product spoils too quickly. Tomatoes. Oh, yeah, and there is nothing worse than the mushy. The or you get the one that's like, it's still firm, but it's lost all its flavor. You know, you're like, oh, well, that was not
that
what I want.
Smell.
Oh, yeah. No, salad mix. No, that's true. In the bag. You think you're good. Or you open it, and then you got about 4 hours
yeah.
before you can eat all the rest of it, and then it's no good anymore. Somebody here says, parents? I don't know what that is. That's got to be a voice to text. Peanuts? It can't be peanuts, because peanuts last forever. I don't know
peppers.
What that one is. Somebody says the prepackaged spring mix lettuce, exactly, yeah. or the avocados. Yeah, no, fully agree with that. Lettuce comes home to die in my veggie crisper. That's true. Cabbage, too. And cabbage is another one where I never have to use the whole thing. Like, if I'm doing corned beef and cabbage, I'm using, like, a quarter of it. Or if I'm making, pot stickers or something, I'm using just enough to do the recipe. Or coleslaw, even. You're never using the whole thing. And then what happens? It sits in there. It starts to go brown. It starts to go black. It starts to stare at me in the face and say, use me. But by then, it's lost all of its flavor. It's not green anymore. It's white. I'm just telling you, there's a pattern here with these foods.
You might not have this in your household because you have, like, a family with you. But the bakery bread...
Oh.
It's impossible to go through a whole loaf
no,
if you
you're
are
right.
the only person eating it. And it's so sad.
And it's so good
it's
when
so
it's fresh,
good.
But you're exactly right. If you we run
See
into
those
this
spots.
My, that's right. Or the like the French loaf, okay?
Yeah.
You bring it home, everybody's into it, and then they don't eat it for a day, and 2 days later it's got green spots on. I'm like, "What the?"
Yeah.
Of course, your regular like your preservatives bread,
yeah.
well that's good for like a month. which should scare you a little bit about preservative bread. Somebody here says bananas absolutely love them, but if you don't eat them quickly enough before they go brown, roasted red peppers in the jars. Okay, all right, I can see you on that one. Any bag salad, you know, any bag salad that's buy one, get one free is really buy one, eat one, the other one becomes penicillin. That's funny. Penicillin's on oranges, by the way. Anyway, somebody here says, let's see, try keeping the cilantro in a jar of water in the fridge. Huh. I mean, I'm open to solutions. Of course, that seems like a lot of work to me. How about chips? They engineered those bags to tear open so easily and they go stale, so you have to go back and buy more all the time. Oh, no, it's true. That's true, like tortilla chips and potato chips. They're forever safe until you open them, and then you've got about 90 minutes before they sog up.
Yeah, even the ones that are in the box that have a little wrapper in it, you think you're safe wrapping it down.
That's a good one. 437-1620, we're talking about foods that go bad before you can use them. I might be alone on this, but I'm going to say cheese. I can't tell you how many times I'll buy, you know, a half-pound block of cheddar cheese. And I use cheese for all kinds of things, or the shredded, both, whatever. And it seems like I never quite get to the end before I discover the unwanted color.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of time to move on. 437-1620. Candy is out today. Gracie is in with traffic on the fives.
Roads are looking great this morning with I-10, I-110 not showing any delays, as well as throughout 98, Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre all running smoothly. If you see something else, give me a call at 850-262-6111. That's the traffic line number. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
Very good. Somebody here says bunny bread never goes bad. Well, you know, there's a reason. somebody else says, I hate to say it, but I can go through a loaf of bakery bread, and that's why I cannot afford to buy it. That's so true. That's absolutely true. 847 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I gotta tell you, first of all, you look marvelous. He does. He does. Up close is something different. It's the makeup, the, you know, it's just marvelous.
We were talking last hour about the Savannah Bananas, this Harlem Globetrotters of baseball team that is just fabulous and fun to watch. And I had never heard of them before yesterday, and I must have spent a half hour watching videos of them and all the crazy things they do. I didn't even tell you the best part of the story. They created a whole new set of rules for baseball that they play by. Like, because what was happening is they were playing in a college, it's not minor league baseball, but they were playing in a college league against other teams, playing regular ball, and they'd try to have fun. And somewhat, but then they'd play the like wacky fun games where they were, you know, having dances and flash mobs and, you know, just dressing up in all kinds of crazy costumes. I mean, really, really fun stuff. You know, you could learn a thing or two about PR from these folks. It's very entertaining. Okay. The players love it. The fans love it. They sell out. You got to get on a waiting list to buy tickets. It's crazy. Anyway. But the problem they were running into is people would show up to one of their games thinking it's going to be the wacky fun. And then they're just playing regular baseball. So they actually had to stop playing regular baseball in order to satisfy the fans who want to see them have the, you know, the crazy fun. But their rules for baseball, they call it banana ball. It's not who wins, has the total most runs in the game. It's that every inning is worth a point. And the team that gets the most runs in an inning gets a point. And then the last inning, every run counts, and you just add up the points. 2-hour time limit. No new inning can be started after 1 hour and 50 minutes. Every run counts in the last one again. No stepping out of the box. If you're a hitter, it's a strike. No bunting, as they say. Rule number 4, bunting sucks. If a hitter bunts, they're ejected from the game. That's fantastic. Batters can steal first. You're up to the plate. And you think you can get to first base without swinging, you just go. This can happen on a passed ball, wild pitch, or any time the hitter chooses. I've often wondered why that isn't a rule, because if you can steal any other base, why can't you steal first? No walks are allowed. If a pitcher throws a fourth ball, it becomes what they call a sprint. And the sprint is the hitter takes off running, and then every defensive player has to touch the ball before it's live, and they can get the hitter out, who can take as many bases as he wants, including all the way around to home. Doesn't have to touch the catcher. Which you think, well, that's not fair for a walk. Well, throw strikes. The answer is throw strikes, right? I mean, so this really strongly discourages walks. It makes walks a penalty against the pitching team as opposed to against the batting team. No mound visits. Hype your pitcher from afar if he needs it. Fans can catch foul balls. So you don't want to catch them against the Bananas if you're the home team or whatever. But, you know, the fan catches the foul ball. It's an out. I love that. And then there's a whole big thing about, you know, what they do when there's tie breaks or whatever. But I'm just telling you, I would go watch this game. This looks very, very entertaining to me. And I've watched my baseball my whole life. It's not really baseball, but it is. You know, and of course, minor league baseball has its own, like we got Mullet Day at the Wahoos and all that. You know, they try to have fun. I'm just saying this is like super next level how to have fun in baseball. And what did I say? They've got 6 million followers on TikTok. I think like the St. Louis Cardinals have 138,000 on TikTok. You know, like this is a team that plays baseball that is built for TikTok. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, how can we get that league in this area? I don't know, but I want to know. I mean, I think they sound very, very entertaining. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is the kind of story where you hear it and you're like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Makes sense. Comes out of England, where in Nottinghamshire, that's how you say that, by the way, you had a car that caught on fire and burned a hole through the windshield and destroyed the car because they left their sunglasses on the dashboard. And the light from the sun got refracted and focused through the magnifying glasses, essentially, of the sunglasses into a spot on the dashboard, focal point, heat, fire, burned up the car. I never in my life thought about that as a possibility. I suppose the glasses would have to be fairly high, high prescription in order for that to happen. But good safety note, don't lose your car to your sunglasses. And then here was this one cracked me up. I know you guys were talking about this last night on the news show, but you have Maryland. They have a specialty plate that when you buy this plate, it contributes money to and commemorates the War of 1812. There's a URL on there that's Star Spangled Banner, Inc. is kind of the URL that it sends you to. Well, the problem with starspangled200.org is that in the old days, it would take you to the website where you would be able to learn more about the bicentennial. Nowadays, that URL has been abandoned by the organization, and it takes you to an online gambling site. So, you know, somebody waited for them to go out and bought the location and thought, well, we can make that work for us. So, yeah, it's a good note about, all right, this is your word of the day. You ready? The ephemerality of URLs, because you never know if somebody's going to still be the same organization in existence. And maybe don't put those on, you know, permanent structures like, for example, a license plate. Not quite permanent, but, you know, enduring. 855 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's out today. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Our roads look great this morning with nothing to slow you down on our major interstates, I-10 and I-110, as well as 3-mile bridge and Garcon Point Bridge running smoothly. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-262-6111. And this traffic report is presented by David's Catfish, Dogwood Drive in Milton. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, man. Had a really good conversation yesterday with the captain of the Elcano. I don't think I've got time to play all of it, but you know, just talking about the value of the ship, the 250 people they've got on board, and why they train this way on an old style, you know, tall ship.
Because you depend on the weather, on the wind. So there, you learn a lot of things that are almost impossible to learn in a gray ship, in a usual warship.
They experience, you know, shipboard life in a way you don't get aboard a modern vessel. But also they're kind of connecting with the history of sailing in a way you couldn't get any other way. Is that
yeah,
right?
Exactly. You're right. We keep the traditions of the old times. Apart from that, we try to learn them to sail in the old style, not only sailing, but always with a paper chart, for example, instead of electronic chart. Using the steam, using the sextant, observing the stars. Because we think that's the foundation of sailing, the foundation for any navigator.
Oh, that makes sense. Where do you guys go after this?
Well,
where do you go after Pensacola?
Now, we are going to New York in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's our last port of call, and later we cross the Atlantic Ocean and return to Spain.
And then is there anything you found about Pensacola you particularly like? Anything that stands
well,
out?
Well, all the people, they're great, fantastic. I said at the beginning, the welcome has been great, very warm. So we are delighted to be here, and for sure we'll come more times again.
So you're here tonight. Are you part of the surrender of the city tonight?
Yes. I will be in the surrounding of the city with his son, the Luna.
Oh, man, that's so cool. So you get to be the Spanish forces.
Well, more or less. I don't know. Perhaps I will be the king of Spain. Perhaps I don't know exactly.
Well, Captain, thank you for coming. You're welcome here, and please express our appreciation to all of your sailors for spending some time in Pensacola.
Thanks a lot. And now I have to say to everybody in Pensacola that we are very glad to receive them on board of the ship. We will receive them and show them the ship, her history. All of us are eager to show the ship for them.
That's fantastic, Captain. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. He's such a delight to talk to him. That's Captain Manuel Garcia, the captain of the Elcano. That's in the port, and you can go visit it today, tomorrow. I think they leave on Saturday at noon. Hours, I think, are 9:30 to 1:30 and then 4:30 to 7:30 both days. All right, time for future news. That's when Gracie and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Heat versus the Nuggets. Who's going to win this series? What do you think?
I say the Heat.
Yeah, I don't watch basketball. I would say the Heat too. I don't. They did pretty spectacularly against the Celtics. Will we actually get the Space Force, the two elements that they're talking about headquartering here in Florida, like has been recommended?
I think yeah.
I'm gonna say the answer is yes. The debt deal passed the House yesterday with more Democrats signing it than Republicans signed it. Will it pass the Senate?
I think absolutely.
You changed your answer yeah. from before. Yeah, there's still some question. But I think it definitely will. GOP, we got seven candidates in, two are pending, Chris Christie and Mike Pence. And how many total? That's a field of nine. How many total will get in?
15.
15? Okay. I hope not. I think more than 10, less than 10 to 12 is my end guess for this. All right. That's it for us. Thanks so much for listening. See you tomorrow.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Free.